I wake up every morning excited to do what I do, and I can do it from anywhere. So that's a big bonus. Plus, yes, when I was in the corporate world, I think I made $80 per client per month. So it's just, I'm making a lot of money for somebody else, this private jet and stuff like that. So yeah. And I love watching my clients grow confidence. I love watching them switch from treating their business as if they're an employee. And we talked about it. Now they're the mindset of, no, I'm a CEO of my business. And watching that transformation is really cool.
You're listening to the 7-Figure Leap Podcast. We're here to leverage rich relationships and smart strategies to take your business to the next level. Here's your host, Dustin Reichman.
Welcome back to the 7-Figure Leap. I'm very excited to share another one of my entrepreneurial friends here, Tanya, and I actually met on LinkedIn. So unlike a lot of my stories, this wasn't a person-to-person relationship or referral. I was probably consuming her content or she was consuming mine, and we started commenting and just grew to appreciate each other. And ultimately, she joined our flagship program, the Podcast Profits Accelerator, and then we've stayed in contact ever since, as she's been an alumni. So Tanya, I'm really honored that you're spending your time here with us, and you have an amazing story. And the funny thing is, I didn't actually know Tanya's story, much of it, until after she was out of the program. And as she posted something, I'm like, what? This is crazy. So we're going to get into her journey, which is really unique and fun. But Tanya, do you want to just briefly introduce yourself for the audience, and then we'll start unpacking your story?
Awesome. Thank you, Dustin. I really appreciate being here and excited. And yes, I loved your program. I am a business coach, strategist. I love helping my clients get to their finish lines, and then a new one, and then a new finish line. And we just keep on going.
Love it. And while you work with a variety of people currently, you primarily focus on the real estate industry. Is that right?
I do. My primary clients is because I've been a real estate coach, a realtor and a real estate coach for so many years. I don't even like to say how many years because it ages me so quickly. So yes, anybody in the real estate profession, anybody that touches a home are my primary clients. And then of course, a lot of my realtors will give me referrals for other business owners. And so I have my others that I coach as well. Yes.
As we record this, there's been some major changes in the industry. So yes. Kind of later, we'll talk about how do you deal with rapid changes and unexpected changes, which all of us deal with at some point in our entrepreneurial career?
Absolutely.
Like happening right now for a lot of your clients. So I'm really excited with your advice when we kind of turn over to the strategy part. But for now, I would just like to unpack your journey a little bit more. I'm personally very curious in hearing what I've but also I think it's really important to reflect back and let our audience reflect back with you, because it definitely informs the current why. You've listened to some of these episodes. I love to just really understand why. And sometimes people don't stop to think about that or look at their values and some of the vacuums and some of the things they've dealt with and what brought them to where they are in their current entrepreneurial journey. And then really start to understand why they do what they do and why they're driven to get up every day and, you know, do what they do. So I'm going to kind of give it over to you for a little bit, Tanya, and you can go back as far as you want. I don't know if it's childhood or high school or college, wherever you want to pick up, and just talk about some of the adventures you've had in your life and some of the different careers that you've pursued.
Okay, so I am going to go back to high school because one of my top values is being out of the box, creative. I know one of my superpowers is my drive, and I learned a lot of that when I look back at to what I did. And of course, I gave a lot of people gray hair with my choices, my mom in particular. I wanted to be president of the United States when I was in high school. So I applied to Georgetown University, got a full ride, and I was going to go that path, become a lawyer. I was going to be back east. And then I met a guy. So I blame it on the guy, right? And he was a bit older than me, about 8 years older than me. And he had a sailboat in Australia. And so I hopped on a plane and went on the boat on Australia with the thought that I was going to take a leap year. And that leap year ended 8 years. That was an 8-year leap.
Wow.
And so we're sailing, and it was actually his brother's sailboat. He had a 74-foot sailboat in Australia. We hopped on. And then about 6 months later, we came back to the States, bought our first sailboat together, fixed it up, sold it, bought a bigger one, fixed it up, sold it, bought a bigger one. So that was my entrepreneurial first business. Was buying and selling sailboats at 17, 18.
Flipping sailboats.
Flipping sailboats, right? Yes.
That's awesome.
And then we'd go off to sea, we'd go to the Caribbean, and like, what are we going to do to earn money? And he was phenomenal at fixing things. So we'd stop at a marina and he'd fix other people's boats. I was varnishing other people's boats. I mean, I was really good at it. But being in the heat and doing somebody else's sailboat wasn't really my thing. So I started writing for Cruising World magazine. I got rejected. And I got a full ride to Georgetown, and my writing is getting rejected. And they're like, well, you write really well, but you're not magazine writing. So I learned how to do it. And back then, 40 years ago, magazine writing, we didn't have online courses. It was all correspondence. So I had to time different marinas to mail things out and get it back. So it took a while, but I was determined, right, to get this done. And so I did. I took a writing course for magazines, correspondence, and then my first writing got accepted. And then I just wrote for Cruising World magazine. And back then, $500 an article was a lot of money. So That's my sailboat journey. Is I learned a lot in that 8 years. And my mom is obviously extremely devastated that I didn't choose to go to college and I'm bumming it with some bum on a boat. But I don't look at it that way anymore. When I think about the things I learned, yes, it was kind of bumming it. I lived in a bikini, back then. That was okay. And then he was also a pilot. So he had taken some time off from being a pilot. And we landed in Maine. Again, I don't need to go through all the details, but we did land in Maine. And we were going to an airport so that he could go practice flying. You have to fly often to stay current. So it's like, okay, here's an airport in Oxford, Maine. Let's go. I'm going to go fly for a couple of hours. I don't think I chose to go that time. So I was kind of hanging out. And come to find out, I heard that the manager of the airport was quitting and quit rapidly, like no notice. And I'm like, oh, this would be great. This would be so cool. So when my now ex landed, we just said, okay, let us take over the airport because we knew we needed to get jobs, right? So we did. We literally landed into being the manager of this airport. So I learned to fly. I got my pilot's license. I got my commercial license. And of course, it takes time. And I took over the flight school portion of the airport and he took over the maintenance department and was painting planes, fixing planes. That was his division and mine was the flight school. And I loved it. It was amazing to watch people get their license. I mean, it was amazing that I got my license. That was never a dream of mine to get my pilot's license. Took a lot. A lot of men in Maine weren't happy that a 26-year-old was learning how to fly, female. So They did everything they could to sabotage me. And so I just fired him and found a new flight instructor. And I took three before it stuck, before they stopped caring that I was a young female learning how to fly an airplane. The Me Too movement wasn't there back then, but it should have been.
They didn't know they were dealing with a woman who intended to be president, first female president. Yeah, so I'm already picking up a theme as you see opportunities and you just like jump. It's like, well, I could do that. I could go to Australia. I could renovate sailboats. I can get a gig as a magazine writer and have to time when I send the submissions in to know when I'm going to get them back before we move on to the next Caribbean port and then go to Maine and be like, oh, I can manage an airport. And like, then I can be a pilot. Pretty remarkable. So I think people are starting to pick up on like, I didn't know any of this when Tanya was in my program. So like she posted something on LinkedIn or in our alumni community or something. It was just like bullet points. Like, I did sailboat and pilot. And then some of the things she's going to get to, I'm just like, what? Like, this is crazy. So that's awesome. All right. Well, yeah, keep going. I'm digging the entrepreneurial journey here.
So there's a yin and a yang, a pro and a con to this. Yes, I'm a leaper and I figure it out on my way down. And that can be a little scary. However, that is me for to a T. You hit the nail on the head. So unfortunately, the relationship didn't last. Me being so young, it wasn't the right match. But at 17, you don't know that. At least I did it. I leaped, right? It wasn't the right match. So we did separate ways and he kept the airport and I moved on and became a corporate trainer for Jenny Craig. And I don't even remember how I landed that gig, but I became a corporate trainer for Jenny Craig. So then I learned about the corporate world and that wasn't for me. So I learned through having that position that being in a 9-to-5, I loved managing people. I loved teaching people. That part of the job I thoroughly enjoyed, but having those rules that I've had, just spent the last, I was now 30. So from 17 to 30, I had no hours, right? So now all of a sudden I'm in this structure. That is my kryptonite. Having that structure did not make me happy. So that didn't last long. I also became a purchasing agent for a boat building company, which they happily hired me because I knew my stuff around boats. But again, it was a 9-to-5 job. I was there 5 years. It was good. And then I got remarried and our relationship lasted 22 years and I have two amazing daughters from it. He is very entrepreneurial. He was a corporate trainer for Burger King and decided he wanted his own restaurant. So we opened up a restaurant, super successful. Then I became a real estate agent because my mom is a realtor. My sister is a realtor. and you get to set your own hours. And I was told it was a great mommy schedule. Not so much.
Not so much. All evenings and weekends are gone. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I did. I just kind of followed suit and said, okay, I'm going to become a real estate agent. And there's no glass ceiling to this. And somewhere in there, I did go to college and I did. I'm missing some steps in there. But I became a real estate agent. While he was a corporate trainer for Burger King, we moved a lot. I think in our 22 mm-hmm. marriage, until he stopped and opened his own restaurant, we probably moved, I want to say, 8 to 9 times during that wow. time. So I became licensed in Florida first. Then I got licensed in California. And then we relocated to Houston, Texas. So I got licensed in Houston, Texas. So I had to keep starting my business over again. And I know yeah. a lot of my clients love that part of the story because it's not easy to start a business, especially as a realtor in a town that you don't know anybody. And Tanya just keeps doing it.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare, honestly. It's like, from a professional standpoint, I mean, the travel sounds, I'm sure a lot of like military families can understand that part of it. But of all the businesses, I can't think of one that's probably harder to restart yep. than realtor, because you have to not only be knowledgeable of the community has to know you, and of course, referrals right. and all the local yep. relationships are where it's all at. So having to uproot yourself every year or two and restart as a realtor, that, but I think that's getting us a lot closer into like why you're driven
right.
to do what you do, right? Because if you can do that, you kind of have those feathers in your cap. You're like, look, yeah, the economy changed, interest rates changed, whatever. Like, I moved to a whole different state and I had to get relicensed
right, and start over.
Like, multiple yeah. times. Great. See, I yeah. just wanted to kind of pause and acknowledge that, like, that's a big deal. Yeah. I saw my aunt was a realtor and I'm pretty into the industry. And like, I feel like I know some things about it. I've got a lot of friends that are mortgage people or insurance people, but I don't think a lot of people recognize from the outside that being a realtor is being an entrepreneur, right? Like, people think, oh, right. they work for a brokerage and like they give them work and they give them houses to sell. And it's like, no, it's pretty much you kill what you kill and you drag it into your cave and that's how you eat, right? right? It's pretty fascinating to think of like a realtor is kind of the ultimate entrepreneur. Now, there's obviously different ways to do it, independent, go with a bigger company, correct. All that sort of stuff. But I'll let you continue on.
And it was perfect what you said, because when my realtors, not all of them, but many of them, when they come to me, they're treating their business like a job. They're not free. They don't have the mindset that they're an entrepreneur and this is their business. So I love what you just said. And that's one of our biggest transitions is, how are you feeling today as a CEO on a scale of 1 to 10? And I normally hear a 2.
That's
and
really
I want to
good.
Get them to the 8 or the 9, right? So that's really a big good. Part of our journey. Yeah.
That's worth pausing on, because I think if anyone's listening, I've actually been going through this myself personally, this idea that what is your identity? And what's your future identity that you're aspired to, right? And like, how do you step into the future identity now? So it's pretty much like what you were just saying. Like, you need to become a CEO. You're running a business. But if you identify as a realtor or a local resource or a community advocate or whatever, like, no, you also have to be a CEO. And like, right. for me, some of the identities I had sort of taken on, and they're necessary parts of the journey, is just like, I'm a coach, or like, I'm a podcaster, or I'm a podcast guest. And those are roles, but like, I wouldn't first lead with, I'm the owner or I'm the CEO, because a CEO thinks differently than a coach, right?
Right.
I love that identity yes. piece. I'm glad that came up there as we're talking about your journey. Yep. So bring us from becoming a realtor and being married and having kids and going to college and moving around all the time. Fast forward a little bit into where that took you, and then from there, how you got to what you're doing now.
Okay, so living in Houston, Texas is where my husband and I parted ways, and he moved back to Maine. And so I'm in Houston with my 2 kids, and they were at the time, I don't know, 13, 14, 12, 13. Oh. They were, you know, very young teenagers yeah. when that happened. And I was a real estate agent, and I treated it as a very much as a part-time job. My income was discretionary at that time. I'm raising 2 daughters. We're moving a lot. So they're not happy about that with them. They're not happy about it. So I'm trying to help them adjust to moving often. I promised them, I committed to them that this was the last move, that they were going to go through high school and we weren't moving again. And that was a solid commitment on my end. And I kept it. It was not easy, but I kept it. And they wanted to stay. If they wanted to, like, my home is California. My family's in California. If they wanted to go back to California to be near aunts, cousins, and grandma, I would have happily gone. It would have been easier. But nope, I've got a daughter who's captain of the swim team. You know, my other daughter's got a solo in the Nutcracker and a boyfriend. They don't want to move, right? So one of the few times I listened to my mom, I joke about that, is my mom says, then you need to hire a coach. If you want to make it in real estate and you need to make it fast, because I'm renting at the time, you need to hire a coach. So I listened to her. And so she gave me a recommendation, her coach, and the rest is history. I went from the bottom of the ladder to that first year making maybe $80,000, which was great that first year. But then I doubled it the second year. And then I almost doubled it the third year. And I'm making more money than my ex and I ever made together combined. It was awesome. Right. And it is a phenomenal industry. It's just not easy. You have to really be focused and know what your business model is, because there's so many shiny objects out there trying to draw you into something else. So having a coach who was real, and I'm not easy to coach. I'm pretty strong. Right. So my coach has to match that and then some. And she did. She's my hero. Kelly got me through my divorce and through raising kids and being number two in my brokerage. From being zero to number two in less than 2 years.
It's becoming obvious the why, right?
Right.
What I'm reflecting on is just like, I don't know, like your ability to roll with the punches and like pivot, which we've talked about, but now it's not just you, right? Now you have a husband that's moved to a different state, or, you know, an ex-husband now, you got two girls, they're teenagers. And as a parent of teenagers, I get how difficult and stressful that can be. And you're like the only one there. Your family's in a different state. Your husband's in a different state, or their dad's in a different state, right? Because I'm like feeling this pressure myself. And then to make this decision through the advice and mentorship of your mom, okay, like I'm pretty much broke. I'm here alone. I don't have enough time to go to the swim meets and show houses. Oh, I know what I should do. I should pay money to someone else as a coach, right? Like to me, that almost sounds, and how long was this, like 10 years ago or something like that?
15? No, longer. My kids are now 26 and 28. Okay. So yeah,
15.
Yeah, 15 but years ago. Yes.
Of course, I was not in this industry, so maybe I just didn't have the awareness. But I don't feel like 15 years ago either, go hire a coach was nearly as prevalent as it is today. Is that accurate?
Right. Exactly. Nobody knew what a coach was. I think it was a soccer coach or a golf coach or something, right? So no, hiring a business coach was not the thing. So now my kids are going to college. So my oldest went to University of San Diego. So obviously California is calling her name. And then 2 years with my youngest, and it was such a phenomenal 2 years, learning how fast time flies. When my first one went to college, I remember taking her to college and flying out there. And she drove me to the airport because I left her with the car. And she drove me to the airport. And I remember standing there, and I get emotional every time I think of it. Literally, and I know you know it because you just said goodbye to your son, right?
Yes.
So I stood at the airport parking lot thing, you know, where you drop people off. And I held her for, felt like 20 minutes and just cried. Like, how did it get to the point that you're now out of the nest, right?
Yeah.
So I got home and I just said, I'm not going to waste a single minute. My oldest daughter had to teach me that I needed to slow down and focus more on family. And I did. So I did that for the next 2 years. And then Anya went to Pepperdine in Malibu, California. So now I'm sitting in Houston by myself going, what the heck? So I'm sitting here and I'm sharing this with my coach because she's like, you don't sound happy, or what's your goals? And I want to say it was around September, October, when we start talking in real estate, we talk about goal. And I do with my clients, we start goal setting in October for the next year. So I know it must've been September, October when she's saying, what do you want to do next year? And I think I started crying. Like, I don't know. Right. I just feel lonely here. And she says, well, I have a solution. And normally she doesn't spoon feed me solutions, right? But she said, we'll hire you in a heartbeat. I've been coaching you for 7 years. It's a real estate coaching company. You're a realtor. Obviously, I had to go through the interview process, submit a resume. They didn't just hire me like that. I did have to go fly out and get interviewed. And they did hire me. They offered me a job. And they gave me 2 weeks to move. And I'm like, how do I say goodbye to my clients and my business in Houston and then just all of a sudden pick up? I figured it out. I flew back a lot. I wanted to get referrals from my clients.
Yeah.
So I did. It took a couple months, but I was flying back and forth a lot, saying goodbye to people and stuff like that. So I started working for a company in Carlsbad, and it's a real estate coaching company. And I worked for them for 7 years. And you know why now I'm driven. So I wanted to be one of the top 10 coaches out of 72 coaches. And I was. When I left, I was fourth. And I wanted to start my own company. Again, it was the corporate rules.
Your girls moved to California for school. You're feeling stuck and alone in Houston.
Yeah.
And then your coach is like, well, why don't you just come move to California and be a coach? Like,
coach for realtors, yeah.
How cool is that? And it was a seven-year relationship that allowed that to be a possibility, right? And so you did that. It sounds like you really thrived, but you ultimately felt constrained by the structure and the fact that you were ultimately working for someone else and you were getting paid effectively by the hour. So how long ago was it that you made the leap from a I'll call it a corporate coach or a coach that works for a company into completely independent and doing your own thing?
March 1st, 2 years. Celebrated 2 years, March 1st. So
oh, nice.
Just a few, right, pretty just a few weeks ago. Yes. Yeah.
In the context of this long entrepreneurial journey, this is pretty new for you.
Pretty new for me, yes. Yes, awesome. And I don't regret it. It's been scary. I have those voices in my head, Tanya, you're too old. What are you thinking? You know, they, right? And it wasn't quite the leap anymore. So I think being single, living in Southern California, I did take a little bit more time with that decision. It wasn't quite the leap. And then we had a COVID hit. So that probably slowed down that decision because of COVID. And something, and I don't need to go through the gory details, but something did happen that really didn't sit well with me with the corporation. And that was what the universe saying, okay, now it's time to go. And so I gave them a couple months notice and they said, no, 2 weeks. And I said, okay. And so March 1st was 2 years ago was my freedom. Look at that freedom.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do a snapshot of what's going on for you today. We'll talk a little bit about your vision for where this is headed, and then we'll transition the last 10 minutes or so here for you to teach us some things about resilience. So tell us just how many clients, types of clients, the things that you really enjoy about owning your own coaching company now.
I love owning my own coaching company because it gives me the freedom to, I can't believe I'm saying this word, but one of the biggest things in my life that you know is being grandma. My oldest now lives in Bend, Oregon. So I can go back and forth and stay for a month and then go back. And so that's one of the biggest reasons is that I have the freedom to be in places and still coach. It is my purpose and passion right now. I know that's a catchphrase that everybody says. It really is. I wake up every morning excited to do what I do. And I can do it from anywhere. So that's a big bonus. Plus, yes, when I was in the corporate world, I think I made $80 per client per month. So it's just, I'm making a lot of money for somebody else, is private jet and stuff like that. So yeah. And I love watching my clients grow confidence. I love watching them switch from treating their business as if they're an employee. And we talked about it. Now they're the mindset of, no, I'm a CEO of my business. And watching that transformation is really cool. So yes, because of my history with coaching for a real estate company, you know, some of my clients followed. Most of my clients now are referrals from those clients. And they're brokers, realtors, lenders. And then they've also given me referrals for other business owners. So financial planner, I coach a phenomenal, very successful roofer in Dallas. The rest is history now. It's just onward and upward. I want to do this until I retire, if that even is maybe not. We'll have as large of a business when I retire, but I'll, you know, can pick and choose, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So, and you do a mix of one-on-one and groups. That's awesome. So you kind of alluded to it, but if you think maybe 3 years ahead, 5 years ahead, your time is probably measured through like grandchildren's ages. That's how I would be thinking, I think, when I'm in your shoes. But like, where do you see your business going? I mean, you want to really grow this thing, or you're like, I'm good, or I'm actually looking to downshift because of family? You know, I'm just kind of curious that 3 to 5 year time frame, your vision for where you want to go.
I want to grow the business. I want to grow the business. I'm focusing on a new program called Broker Brilliance, where I will have more brokers. I do coach a couple brokers right now, phenomenal brokers. What I want is more brokers so that they have more sense of community together within my coaching program, because that's huge in my coaching program. So Broker Brilliance is a complimentary workshop. I actually had my first one this Friday. And some great people signed up for that. My vision is seeing the broker portion grow, because within that, then I can coach one-on-one with some of their agents. So yeah. I really am focused on coaching brokers. I coach phenomenal real estate agents, one-to-one or in group. Group is kind of the stepping stone for some people. Either they're not really sure about coaching, or financially, they're not quite able to go into the one-to-one program. So group is a great stepping stone for them. And then, yeah, within 6 months, some of them upgrade. Some of them love the group setting and they stay. So I do have some that have been in group now for 2 years and they're great with that.
Yeah.
So yes, I want to grow. Some people say, well, Tanya, grow a company where you have more coaches and then you're managing coaches. And if I was 30 yet, yes, I would leap and do that, right? I'm going to say my age at 60. No, that's not a priority anymore. So do I want to grow? Yes. But to the point where if I need to start hiring more coaches, I would refer clients out. But that's not a goal of mine at this point. I want to go pick up Stella from school.
I love, as someone who's extremely driven, as we've heard throughout your story, and is a bit fearless, it sounds like. I'm sure you have some fears, but you've done a lot of really bold things. I think that's probably hard to say, right? Like, look, I could grow even bigger. I could do a search coaching certification and like, but you know what? I don't want to. And ultimately, we get to choose what we want. And, and that's really a key question that many people don't stop and reflect on. It's like, you could do a lot of things. And I'm sure you get into this with your coaching clients, but like, what do you actually want? Right. Like, what do you want your lifestyle to look like? Where do you want to live? How many hours do you want to work? How many people do you want to be beholden to as your clients? So that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for unpacking this wild journey with us and stating your age. I love that too, that like, that's really important is we go through different phases of life and you're a really cool phase of life that I look forward to hopefully being, God willing, being a grandpa someday and what that will look like.
Your life will change. You don't believe it. I never believed it. I'm like, I'll be great. I mean, just saying the word grandpa was hard for me. It's like, how did this happen? Okay, I know how it happened, but how did it happen so fast?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And now that's just like, there's nothing better. Awesome. You will experience one day and then you're like, this is it.
And hopefully not too soon with my teenage kids, hopefully a few years down the road. Yeah. Awesome, Tanya. Well, thank you for that. I think it's really clear how you've reached this part of your career, and it's clear you have the passion for it and so much different expertise and experience to draw from to help realtors and brokers. And I love the Broker Brilliance application of your skills. And as we're going to transition now into more of a strategy and talking about some of your key things that you help your clients with, as you were talking about the brokers, I'm like, they're going to need a lot of help because there's some major changes coming to they are here. Tanya, you can tell us a little bit about this major change that's just happened here in March 2024 in the real estate industry. And then through that lens, we'll talk about how not only realtors, but how do entrepreneurs deal with rapid change and unexpected circumstances, which again, you have a lot in your well to draw from there. So I'll let you give us context for the realtor specific issues, and then we can kind of broaden it out to how you would advise entrepreneurs to deal with rapid change.
Right. And anyone listening knows we've had a lot of changes. We've had upheavals with presidential elections. We've had COVID, right? In the real estate industry, we've had interest rates at 2%. Go up as high as 8%. And now, just recently, just the last couple of days, the National Association of Realtors, NAR, we've been talking about this lawsuit they've been going through for months and months, but they finally settled. A few days ago, they settled the lawsuit, which is a huge change for realtors. And I give to my clients SOS calls. So if something's going on in their life, anything, personal, business, financial, and they need me, they SOS me via text. And as soon as I can call them back, I do. So I've had more SOS calls this last week than I've had in my 2 years of being a business owner.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Because of this change. And it's not just real estate agents, where yes, it directly affects the real estate agent, but brokers, lenders, even roofers who rely on buyer's agents for referrals. It's going to affect them. And it's huge. So the commission structure has changed and the selling agent, the seller no longer has to pay for the buyer's agent side. So if it's 6% to the seller, it's no longer 6% to the seller because the seller kept 3, the buyer's agent got the other 3. And of course, it still gets split many ways from there with their broker and taxes. So that's a big change for buyer's agents. Anybody who has a lot of buyers or focuses on buyers, their whole world just got turned upside down. Having them sign a buyer agreement, it's always been something that we want our buyer's agents to do, but it's kind of been optional. No one's ever held their feet to the fire to go get a buyer rep agreement. As of a few days ago, everybody starting July has to get a buyer rep agreement signed, and they need to now tell their clients, you might have to pay my fee.
People that before, like if you were a buyer, you're looking for a house, you're like, I might as well get a buyer's agent. I'm not even paying for it. Now you have to pay for it. So now there's going to be a lot less people that are probably incentivized to use a buyer's agent at all because of the way it gets paid. And then obviously overall, it seems there's like going to be a real pressure just for commissions in general to get lower and lower because there's no longer sort of a standard 6% or 5% how it has been forever.
Absolutely. And there are ways. I mean, it's negotiable. You can still write a contract and ask the seller to pay maybe 1% and 1% from the buyer to the buyer's agent. There's lots of options. I don't want to think it's just black and white. It's not. There are other options, but we're all negotiating now where we never need to negotiate that so much. This is now on the table to negotiate. So talking about resilience, some realtors, business owners that don't have a strong resiliency muscle, they tend to want to ostrich or hide under the bed, right? Like, I can't do this. And NAR actually has a statistic on their website that 80% of the realtors might get out of the business now.
My gosh.
And wow. I refuse to have any of my clients be that statistic. They're going to be the 20% that stay in. And that's where resiliency comes in. You've got to be able to pivot. And so it starts with first your mindset. It does. You've got to know that you can survive this. And I help them. And I tell them on the phone, you are going to survive this. We're going to get through this together. I actually just set up and emailed all my clients that we're going to have a special edition. We have a once a month mastermind session. So all my clients get together. So we're having a special edition one just for the realtors next week around this topic. And I'll have a broker come in and talk about it. So I've got their back. I don't want them hiding. And so their mindset that they can do this. And then the second piece around this mindset, I call it heart set. They have to know their value and they have to feel it from their heart. This is why you want to hire me. I'm driven. I have your back. I'm going to negotiate the heck out of the deal and get the best possible deal for you. They need to be able from their heart, know what their value is. Because if they don't know, they're not going to pay their fee. The buyer won't pay their fee. They'll find an agent who can articulate their value from the heart, know it, and go, yes, I need you to help me buy a home. So that's the first step around that.
Kind of first step. So again, this, and we're talking about realtors, but this really applies to everyone. So if something changes in your business, something you didn't want or expect, the first thing to do is settle, like maybe get a coach or get in or have a peer, but be able to process it, have a clear mind, know your own worth. And maybe for the first time ever have to be able to articulate that clearly because that's going to be necessary. Okay. So that's kind of part one. Keep going.
So then part two is coming up with a plan. We got to have a roadmap. We're going to travel from San Diego to New York. There's many options. There's many ways. There's many roadmaps to get there. We've got to find the one that suits you. And that's one of my superpowers is creating a customized roadmap for each one of my clients. Because my 29-year-old female that has two kids that is single is going to have a different roadmap to New York. You need a lot of pit stops, right, with kids, right?
Yeah.
Versus my single 50-year-old guy who lives alone, his roadmap is going to be totally different. But they have the same goal, get to New York. And they will. So we're going to have to pivot, come up with a new plan, know your value. How are we going to articulate? How are we going to get that out on social media? What kind of flyers are you going to have? We're just coming up with a roadmap and we're going to then follow it. That's where some of my wonkiness comes, not my wonkiness. It's like, I wish I could just fly to their home and have them do it. That's my next business is fly me out and let me do your steps for you.
You're going to be like Jillian or whatever from the Biggest Loser. I'm flying to you and I'm going to stand over you until you get this done. So cool. Correct. So they've got a mindset, heart set, and then that transitions. Now they've got the ability to have a clear perspective. And then again, usually probably working with a coach, you have to just establish a clear game plan, knowing you may pivot off of that again. But if you don't have a clear plan to start with, you'll just literally not move. You'll just be stuck. Okay. Yeah. So part two is the new plan.
Yeah. And I love how you said pivot, because maybe that roadmap that we designed isn't quite working. And we're not going to do it just after a week, but maybe after 90 days, we're really not moving very far. Then great, let's readjust. So keeping an eye, and that's what I do. I keep an eye on their movements, see what kind of transactions they have or, how many appointments they have. And if we're not getting them and they actually are doing the steps, if they're not doing the steps, it doesn't matter what roadmap we have, right? If you're going to stay in the parking lot, we're not going to get to New York.
And I think the third step, it makes the first two possible and continually improving and easier. So unveil the third and final step for us.
And the one that you and I both love is community, being in the right community. If you're in a community with people who are going to hide under the bed and ostrich, that's where you're going to be. Be in community with people who are going to encourage you, encourage your roadmap, encourage your value and help you articulate it. That's why I love having my mastermind groups with my clients. We have a private Facebook group, and I know you have your own platform, and they can communicate, talk with each other. They pass referrals to each other. My North Carolina girl just totally sent a referral to my gal in Long Beach, right? So it's a community, and it is so important to be in the right community right now.
Yeah.
At any time, but right now,
And of course, I'm biased because a lot of the work I do is pretty much all the work I do is done through a community, right? Like a mastermind or the accelerator groups. And what I witnessed there, like Tanya's experienced this, but this is really, really simple. But like having a place to check in once a week and say, here's a win. And it could be a personal, professional, but like being in an environment of positivity, optimism, and gratitude it's infectious, like in the best way possible, yeah. right? Because I think in our personal lives, we tend to dismiss our wins. And then if anything, we'll complain about the negativity and that attracts more negativity. So exactly. we're just really intentional in community to be like, no, what are the wins? And then we have a circle and a place for people to communicate between meetings so that they can immediately celebrate wins too, even if they're like seemingly micro wins. One of my favorite things, and some people are like, why would you quote unquote waste time in a mastermind meeting letting everyone talk about their wins? Like you could be teaching and doing referrals. There's time for all that, but it changes the tone of the environment when you lead with gratitude and wins. And I can only imagine, Tanya, the power of this experience you're going to provide doing the special mastermind session in a time where there's a lot of SOS calls happening, a lot of uncertainty, people questioning their future. I imagine some people are going to come there very concerned and leave much more optimistic and ready to invest in their mindset, invest in a new plan, and commit to a new plan. Yeah. So that's beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing all that you shared. I think that resilience plan is definitely universally applicable to entrepreneurs. We're all going to deal with this crazy stuff. Hopefully not as swift as some of the stuff has happened in the real estate industry. But I leave it back to you, Tanya, on if people are in the real estate industry or they know people in the real estate industry who are freaking out and they need a coach, tell us the next best steps for people to engage with you.
I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. TanyaBugbee.com is my website. So it's easy to find me. Just put in Tanya Bugbee coach in the search engine and I will pop up. My coach, because I do have a coach, has made sure that I'm easy to find. And we'll have a complimentary coach call. I do promise that my complimentary coach calls are not salesy. I'm not there to get you to join my program. I really will coach you up for an hour. And if you feel we're a good match and you want to ask me the next steps, I will obviously go into the next steps. And if it's for some reason you don't feel we're a great match, I promise I'm not going to be sending you a bunch of emails saying, join me, pick me, that kind of stuff. So
I have your LinkedIn up. I actually love following you on LinkedIn. It's some of the best LinkedIn content. It's really good what you do. So I'll just kind of spell your name. So Tanya is T-A-N-Y-A. And then Bugbee is like two insects, right? B-U-G-B-E-E. So pretty easy to remember. So if you just put in, Tanya Bugbee or Coach Bugbee, I'm sure people can find you easily. I definitely recommend following you on LinkedIn and shooting you a DM. This has been amazing. I learned, it's so funny. Like I spent 90 days in like a fairly intensive environment, a lot of calls with Tanya. And I learned so much today that's useful to me, but also just like really personally endearing and curiosity inducing. I'm like, wow, this is probably one of the more interesting entrepreneurial stories I've ever heard. So I really appreciate you taking the time, Tanya. I know you're visiting family and taking the time here to record a podcast to serve our audience. Really grateful for you. I'm glad that we're connected and continue to stay connected and can't wait to hear when the other shoe drops and how well you're able to serve your clients during a time of major uncertainty with the gifts that you've developed through dealing with uncertainty throughout your career. It's really, really fun to connect those dots of your past and how you're helping people in the present moment to have a better future. So thanks again for being here. Thank you for all that you've shared. Go check out Tanya, TanyaBugbee.com or hit her on LinkedIn, same name. You'll be glad you did. So thanks again, Tanya.
Thank you.